You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K24. It's myself, Mo Moonsi. Alongside me, as always, the three-time NBA champion, Mr. BJ Armstrong. We're here to break down last night's action in the Eastern Conference section of the NBA, playing where the 7-8 seed, the Heat and the Sixers, they played for the chance to become the number two seed in the playoff and face the New York Knicks. And then in the 9-10 game, we had the Hawks and the Bulls battling it out to face the loser of the 7-8 game. BJ, how'd you enjoy this evening's basketball? After last night's excitement.
Yeah, you know what? What can you do?
After the Western Conference was full of thrills, to be fair, the Heat-Sixers game was pretty exciting, but the Bulls and the Hawks, they disappointed. But we got to start off talking about the Heat and the Sixers.
Okay.
BJ. The Miami Heat, the hardest working, the best condition, the most professional, most unselfish, toughest, meanest, nastiest team in the NBA. Just got sunned by a damn near 40-year-old Frenchman called Nick Batum. I don't know if Heat culture got on the plane to Philadelphia for this one. Because Philly won, they advanced, they're now the second seed to face the Knicks, which will be a fantastic series, in my opinion. Let's talk about it. The Heat were up by 14 points.
Yes.
And went on to lose. Nick Batum had a sensational evening, making contributions on offense and defense. On offense, he had 20 points. He finished the night, let me look at the stat sheet, 6 of 10 from behind the arc. He came up with a huge block on Tyler Herro. What's really cool about that is in a post-game press conference, he said the Philly coaching staff showed him the exact play Miami were going to run just a couple of minutes before, so he knew exactly where to be to block Tyler Herro on that possession. And BJ, a few things happened in this game. Miami got out to a hot start. They were throwing their zone defense at Philly, and Philly looked completely unprepared to go up against the zone defense, right? I made a note here that in the first quarter, in the start of the second quarter, Philly had 10 turnovers. It looked like they would be the ones who would lose this game. And seven of those came against Miami's zone. Miami kept coming up with steals, getting out in transition for easy points. And then something happened in the course of this game that shifted the momentum. And you will never believe what I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
Caleb Martin went to the free throw line. Now in Philly, they have a promotion where if the opponent misses two straight free throws, the fans will get a free Chick-fil-A. And you know me, nobody in this world loves fried chicken more than I do. But maybe the fans in Philly love fried chicken a little bit more than I do, because they went crazy. There was a noticeable energy shift in that building after those two free throws were missed. And I wish I could make it up. But after he missed those two free throws and they got their free chicken, the Philadelphia 76ers went on and won this game. Now, a couple things stood out to me. Number one, Joel Embiid didn't look like himself tonight. He had an awful first half. Yeah, he didn't have a great game up until the fourth quarter. And in the fourth quarter, he found his rhythm, because the Miami Heat decided against a physical threat down low that when he's on the perimeter, to just not get out there and guard him. Now, we all know Embiid can shoot the ball. He went 2 of 4 from behind the arc, 50%. But the couple threes that really got him going, they just weren't paying attention, weren't getting out to guard him. And after that, it was a done deal. Like I said, Nick Batum went away. And the most surprising thing of the night, Nick Batum, of everyone. But that Harden trade is looking pretty good in hindsight, because, you know, that's one of the pieces they got in return. What were your thoughts on this one?
Well, you know, just a little comment, a little context to your, you know, say playing against the zone defense. You know, very rarely, Mo, teams in the NBA don't practice against zone defenses.
But if you're playing Miami, you expect it.
I'll say this. Traditionally in the NBA, it's not something that you prepare against, because the players are so good that, you know, you're guarding an area instead of guarding a man. And the skill level is so elite that I think most coaches, I don't know the reason. Well, I think I kind of know the reason. It's like kind of like, well, no one can play a full zone for 48 minutes. So why bother about it? You know, if I get a stop, you can't just run back to a zone, right? You got to play man to man. So you kind of brush it off. However, you know, these are when you start guarding the nails, okay? The nails mean these are four areas on the floor, and you play it like a man, even though it's a zone. It's kind of like
Not to
a
be
matchup.
confused, not to be confused with the nail, which is the middle of the free throw line.
Well, the nails in the NBA mean, you know, are like the you know, you have the elbows, and you just guard out. Okay, so it's kind of a when you see a team do it, and it kind of disguises you for a little bit. I think it took the 76ers by surprise because they were playing this matchup zone. Now, Eric Spoelstra kind of does this, and he does it. He's strategic when he does it. He does it like after timeouts. He does it. He'll do it after quarters. He'll just do it to be very disruptive. Now, Pat Riley would often do this as well with the Showtime Lakers. He would extend his half-court defense and push it all the way up to be like a three-quarter kind of matchup zone, and then fall back and start trapping. So it can be kind of disruptive. However, over the course of the game, you can see that the players will adjust because they're that good. That's why you saw a lot of times Kyle Lowry and Tyrese Maxey playing together. They were actually playing three guards for a large majority of the game because they were trying to find a rhythm because they needed more ball handlers. So, but for the most part, I thought they did a pretty good job of playing against, and I say they, talking about the Sixers, they kind of just figured it out. Joel, when you have a big, you got to have shooting. Nicholas Batum was the guy who came in and made big shots for this team. I mean, I think he had about 20 points, which is, I mean, Nick, I didn't anticipate Nicholas Batum to come in and say, I'm counting on him to get 20
And this is the
off the
beauty of
bench.
a one-off game. This is the
Yes.
beauty. You
And
never
yeah.
know.
So Nicholas Batum provided the spacing that was necessary. And then over the course of the game, like you alluded to, in the fourth quarter, Joel Embiid, suddenly the game opens up because they have to guard Batum. They guarded, you know, Maxey kind of was driving a little bit. They made some adjustments. And then it kind of cleared the way for the big fella to kind of take it home. So it was a really good win, competitive game. I thought Miami should have won the game. They played well enough to win. But, you know, fortunately for the Sixers, they won the game, and they get a chance to advance.
Just, you know, to expand on what we talked about with that zone defense there for you guys who didn't watch the game. If you watch it back and you watch certain defensive possessions, Miami look like they're in man. And then there'll be a ball screen or something happens, and then they're in a zone. And then once that action's over, they're back to looking like they're in a man defense. It's very confusing for an opponent because a lot of the times when you're playing against a zone, you've got to find the gaps, right? You've got to find the gaps in a defense. But the way that Miami play it, the person with the ball oftentimes can't even see the gaps because of the way that they're covering him. So credit to Eric Spoelstra, but I was a little disappointed that it took them so long to figure it out because Kyle Lowry came into this game playing fa with fantastic energy. And, you know, Miami, a large part of them getting out to a hot start in the first half was literally causing turnovers, getting out on the break, scoring, and then they can come back and set up their defense again. And if you're giving up turnovers, giving them steals, you're not getting back in transition, you're not getting stops, then this becomes a very difficult way to play the game. Because when you look at Miami, they were struggling a bit to score in the half court. And if you're turning the ball over, you can't get your half court defense set up. So it was an interesting matchup. Here are the for the Miami Heat side of things, Jimmy Butler. I know they talk about playoff Jimmy. I don't think play in Jimmy is a thing. He was 5 of 18 from the field. But Tyler Herro, 9 of 27. He shot the ball. He finished with 25 points, but not a great performance from who you would expect to be the Heat's two best scorers on the court. But they will go on to play against the Chicago Bulls, who beat the Atlanta Hawks in what was, out of all the playing games, I think three of them were very exciting. This one, not really so much. Should we talk about that, BJ?
Absolutely. We got to give it, you know, give my bullies a little love.
Shall
You
we
know,
give the
Kobe White.
listeners
Yeah,
full
Kobe White had
transparency
a,
that We started recording this with 5 minutes left in the game because the Hawks are just so bad.
Yeah, well, they were down over 20 points, so it's warranted. But, you know, Coby White and company, they were fantastic. I mean, he had, what, 40, what did he end up with?
40-something?
42.
15 of 21.
Yeah.
And he only scored three threes. He was cooking inside the arc. But can I just say, can we please give Coby White the most improved player award? This has got to have cemented it, even though the balance is done. I remember we mentioned it a couple of times throughout the year.
Yeah, we mentioned him. He really has, you know, he was drafted, what, seventh or eighth or something. And then, you know, in fairness to him, you know, they had Lonzo Ball there.
Lonzo,
I think they had
Lonzo. Yep, they had Lonzo. And then obviously you got LaVine and DeRozan who get the ball most at a time. So, it's hard for a player like him to come in and just be a catch and shoot guy. But after LaVine's injury this year, he really got the opportunity to have the ball in his hands more and go out there and show what he can do.
So, you know, what I really respect about all the players in the NBA is when the players are, you know, you talk a lot about giving players an opportunity. Well, a lot of times when your opportunity comes, you have a responsibility too, is to be ready. So this young man was ready. You can tell he's been working on his game. He's prepared for the moment for this expanded role. He didn't complain about, you know, well, he wasn't going to be the starter, even though he was drafted in the lottery. He's playing behind all-star caliber players and DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine. And for whatever reason, when his opportunity came, he was ready for it and he's shining. So give this young man credit. It's a tribute to him, his perseverance and so forth, but more importantly, believing in himself and being ready to play. So he's performing at a high level and is a great win for our Bullies. Now they have to go to Miami, I believe, right? They got to go down to Miami. But
here's the thing. A one-off game to keep your season alive. You're looking at the Hawks. You've got two guards who have been all-stars, Trae Young, DeJounte Murray. How was Coby White the best player on the court? Trae Young finished minus 27. That means when he was on the court, the Hawks were 27 points worse than the Chicago Bulls. He shot 3 of 8 from downtown, 4 from 12 from the field. He obviously had his hand injury, which he's had surgery on. He was wearing a brace on his hand. Then he took it off. That may have thrown off his rhythm. Maybe mentally, he wasn't shooting the ball the same way. But that doesn't change defense. I mean.
Yeah, you know, listen. Sometimes, Mo, when you have a team and you have good players, okay, this is – the Atlanta Hawks have a really good team on paper. They have talent, okay? They have two players at the guard position who are terrific players in all accounts, right? I mean, they've been both all-stars. Trae Young, I believe, is an all-star this year. Deontay Murray, they have some really good players. But for whatever reason, Bo, it doesn't work. And you know where it doesn't work is on the defensive end. And Clint Capella, Murray, these guys are like good defensive players. Hunter, is it DeAndre Hunter? Yeah, DeAndre Hunter.
DeAndre Hunter.
Yeah, these guys are like good defensive players, but they play no defense with this group.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's time, Mo, to really look at this team and say, we have good individual players, but it doesn't work with this group for whatever the reason may be. Now, they've had a couple of different coaches. You know, as you know, I was a huge fan of Nate McMillan. And listen, that's part of coaching. If it doesn't work, you know, the first place you look is the coaching staff. Okay, clearly it's not the coaching staff. It wasn't the coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got to take responsibility and say, we got to change something within this group because it's not a good fit. And, you know, sometimes you just need to shake things up a little bit. I don't know who should go and who should stay.
Well, it has to be DeJounte or Trae because it's clear that those two in the backcourt together don't work. If you've got a player like Trae Young, you're going to need a real defensive mind guy. Like you basically need a prime Klay Thompson who's just going to catch and shoot. Whereas DeJounte Murray does more than that. He's not a catch and shoot three guy. He needs the ball in his hands as well. These two on the court together don't work. My thing on the Hawks, and everyone calls me a hater every time I say it, and I know you don't like me saying it, but their run to the Eastern Conference Finals, when I said that they weren't a real conference finals team because of the circumstances in which they got to the conference finals, everyone said I'm a hater, but you are now seeing it. This is not the team that was it 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, were in the conference finals. This is not a team of that caliber that's poised to make a deep run. And the thing is, they've got their pick this year, but next year their pick goes to the San Antonio Spurs. And 2026, their Spurs have the rights to swap picks. So they can't even go into a rebuilding phase. Otherwise, you're just fueling the fire that is Wembanyama's roster. So the Hawks are in a real tough spot here. I don't know what they're going to do moving forward. I mean, they do have some like bright spots on the team. I'm a fan of DeAndre Hunter. Jalen Johnson was also in the running most improved player. Clint Capella, obviously very solid in his role. He finished with 22 points, 11 of 15 from the field to go along with 17 rebounds. He's fantastic at just playing his role. And to be fair to Trae Young, he did have 10 assists, but he got outplayed by Coby White on the court. The sad part for the Bulls who advance is that Alex Caruso left the game with an injury. And now it says, let me just pull up the report. He has a significant right foot sprain and his availability on Friday's game against the Miami Heat is likely in doubt. And then for Miami, Jimmy Butler is feared to have an MCL injury in his knee, which could sideline Butler indefinitely. So I don't know how we're going to predict that game with Caruso maybe not playing and Jimmy Butler maybe not playing. And obviously, for a lot of people hearing that, you think Jimmy Butler's a superstar, Alex Caruso, a role player. How does that make a difference? Caruso has been so key in setting the tempo for this defense for Chicago, who people didn't really look at as a great defensive side. I'm not saying they're a great defensive side, but when they've got Alex Caruso out there, one of the best perimeter defenders in the NBA, he makes a huge difference for them. So when we look ahead to the matchup between the Heat and the Bulls, who you got?
Well, I think a lot of that will be dictated by the players that are available. And right now, there's a lot of uncertainty in the air. Let's hope that all of those guys somehow can play and that they are okay. It didn't look good for Jimmy. You know, I happened and, you know, I saw that. I don't know what happened to, you know, Caruso. You know, he's very key for them because he normally guards the other team's best perimeter player. I mean, some games he'll even guard Giannis and these guys. So he's a very versatile defender. So those are both of those players to their respective teams. They mean a lot on both ends of the court. You know, Jimmy is a terrific defender as well. And Caruso is an all defensive player. And they're going to need those guys if they're going to advance. So let's see what the medical report is. And if everyone is healthy, you know, I always kind of favor the home court. I think the home court has an advantage. The Lakers certainly, you know, they buffed that or refuted that. But that I think they were the only team to win
on the road.
Yes. Yeah. So, but I'm going to favor the home team. But I think this medical report is going to be key and play a significant role if both of those players don't play for their respective teams.
If both of those players don't play, I'm going with the Bulls.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that.
But if they both don't play, and I'm looking at Miami Heat, and Tyler Herro plays anything like he played today,
am I expecting
Bam to come out and drop 30? No, I'm not. But the Bulls still have DeMar DeRozan. They still have Vucevic, who obviously is very experienced in this league. I'm not saying that he's going to be able to dominate Bam Adebayo, but he can still get it done. And what I really like today about the Bulls, and obviously this is similar to the Heat, is that the Bulls were not afraid to shoot in the mid-range. Like a lot of their shot attempts in the mid-range, I saw Vucevic taking baseline jumpers from the mid-range, which is something you don't see too much in the NBA anymore. And this goes back to what we spoke about with the zone. When you have an offense that says we just want to shoot threes and layups, it's very difficult to score against the zone defense because you're not finding those gaps. So it's going to be an interesting matchup. The winner gets the pleasure of playing against the Boston Celtics, who have the best record in the NBA. As a Boston Celtics fan, I can't say I'm too worried, respectfully, to either of these teams.
Right.
Especially if Jimmy Butler's out. That just changed the whole dynamic. You don't want Jimmy Butler to be out. You want him to be in so that we can send him home. But very disappointing. I was reading a few tweets from a former player. I can't remember who it was. But he said, if Jimmy Butler took the regular season more seriously, then he wouldn't be in this position, talking about his injury. I think I've got it here, it's Eddie Johnson, who spent 17 years in the NBA. Because Jimmy Butler famously doesn't really care about the regular season, and he always just tells people, let's wait for the playoffs, wait for the playoffs. But if you took the regular season a little bit more seriously, your playoff spot would have been guaranteed. You wouldn't have been playing in the playing game, and now you wouldn't be injured. Which obviously there's no guarantees, and injuries are just random and you can't control them. But it is a valid point. If your whole thing throughout the regular season is, wait till you see us. You don't want to see us in a 7-game series. You don't want to face the Miami Heat in the playoffs. Maybe consider getting to the playoffs first.
You do whatever you got to do to gain your confidence during the course of the regular season. And, you know, I've stated this many a times. You don't turn it on and you don't turn it off. That's just how it works. You know, I hear you. You say what you say. I've never seen a great player turn it on and turn it off. You'll have favorable matchups. Some nights you'll have a matchup. And some of the players, some, not many, some of the players do have an advantage. Some of the players are stronger than others at their position. Some of the players are faster than others. Some of the players can jump a little higher. A guy may have a 35-inch vertical, but you're playing against a guy who has a 42-inch vertical. Sometimes you have an advantage, okay? There's different levels of athleticism. Some guys have a better feel for the game, which gives them their advantage. And, you know, we call that. We have a term for it. We call it a competitive advantage during the course of a game. Jimmy Butler is one of those players. He has a competitive advantage on many players in this league. However, as you advance, you will meet your equal. And if you have any lapses or any things in your game that's not, you know, where it should be, it will show up. So, yeah, you can say all those things, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with guys talking and stating their confidence and.
I don't have a problem with that. But if your whole thing is wait for the playoffs, you got to at least get a playoff seed.
Well, you know, they're not out yet. Listen, they were in the NBA Finals just a year ago.
Okay, cool.
So I'm not gonna, you know, it's like the champs. I always give the champs or people who win, their record warrants them to be able to talk. They back it up.
They've never won.
They haven't won.
Jimmy Butler has not won.
But he's been, if I remember correctly, he's been a couple of NBA.
Should we give him a medal for being a runner up?
That's an achievement in this league.
Well done.
Yeah, that's an achievement. You keep showing up and you keep playing. No one can say this, and I won't let anyone say this about Jimmy. Jimmy Butler is a competitor. He competes.
And there's no doubt about that.
He competes. Now, there can only be one team that can win a championship. But the fact that he shows up and he competes and he lays it on the line.
Okay, but he doesn't in the regular season is the point that I'm making here.
Well, sometimes, Mo, sometimes you disguise things and you say things. The people that I know down there, in particular, Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley, that's not who they are. He might be saying whatever he's saying for whatever the reason he's saying it. If it's one thing I know about Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra, who I respect, I mean, you know, I hold them to the top of the, you know, as far as preparation, professionalism, coaching. I mean, they're two masters. I mean, I've watched Eric Spoelstra go from a young coach to he's a true master.
He started in the film room.
Yeah, he's a true master of the game.
Mm-hmm.
If there's one thing I can say, and I remember Pat Riley and I, it was in Chicago actually at the pre-draft, and we were both on the treadmill, and I was so excited because I was like, God, I was going to do like an hour on the treadmill. It's like, you know how it is, Mo. You get on there, you're like, oh, how am I going to get through this?
And you're trying to psych yourself up. I'm going to be honest with you. I hate treadmills, so I don't. I refuse. I will do everything in the gym besides the treadmill or the bike with the really tiny seat because that just feels weird to me.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. Well, I got a lesson. A basketball, it was like a master class from Pat Riley because he just walks up at the same time. He just
on the treadmill next to you then.
Yes. And it was phenomenal because all we did was talk basketball. And I didn't want the 60 minutes to end. So here's the guy who walks in and was like, oh, how am I going to get through it? To like, I'm trying to slow time down because Pat Riley's just giving me, he's just giving me knowledge.
You mean he's Eric just giving Foster.
Me knowledge. Yeah, no, I'm talking about Pat. No, Pat Wait, Riley.
Pat Riley was on the treadmill.
Pat Riley. Yeah, Pat Riley. Sorry, did I say Eric Spoelstra?
Yeah,
Pat
yeah.
Riley. Yeah, Pat Riley was on the treadmill. So I'll never forget this. Pat said, he said, BJ, it's impossible to win 82 games, but it's not impossible to want to win all 82 games. And if you're not trying to do that, what are you doing?
That's a bar.
He said it just like that. Yeah, yeah. He said it just like that. So I know his DNA. Now, I get it. It's a new era, new game, new this. But it's one thing I've played against this man. I've known this man has been in a part of this man has been in the NBA or part of the NBA for my entire 30 plus years in the NBA, right? If I'm not 30, I'm closing in on 30 years in the NBA. Pat Riley wants to win every game. He wants to go 82-0. Okay. Eric Spoelstra wants to go 82-0. And now you got to figure out, like, whatever Jimmy's doing, Jimmy is whatever he says. I just know this. Those guys play hard down there. They do have a culture. That thing that they talk about, Heat's culture, is real. You ask any player that plays down there, that's a real thing. And right now, Mo, I think they probably need to retool that a little bit because they've had a little slippage. Because you're absolutely right in the results. I think they want to win all the time. But for some reason, I don't know if Jimmy, you know, he's getting older. Jimmy's got a lot of miles on that body and the way he plays. So if we want to say anything, I just think right now they're a little depleted as far as their role players. Like if there's anything I'm looking at their roster.
Yeah, no terrors there tonight.
They're depleted. Okay, they lost two important pieces from a year ago. Okay, and they're a little depleted. And Tyler Hero missed a significant part of the season. So if it's anything for them to do, I think it's to kind of figure out their role players and figure out who can contribute in a consistent way during the course of the season so you can get those guys. Because Jimmy Butler has a lot of miles now. What year is this for Jimmy?
Jimmy Butler, right now, he was drafted in... So Jimmy Butler was drafted in, what, 2011? So my math has gone, but it's like year 12, year 13.
Yeah. And the way he plays... this is about right. This is about right for him. And you would like to see him stay above 65 games?
He says he doesn't care about playing 65 games.
Okay, that's fine. But you can't win that way. That's fine.
Is exactly what I was making the point of.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
This is exactly what I'm making the point of. Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra want to win, Jimmy Butler has said in a quote that he doesn't care about playing 65 games. What I'm saying. If he cared more about the regular season, the Miami Heat wouldn't have been in the play and they would have been in the playoffs and we wouldn't even need to have this conversation.
Players say a lot of things. I think Jimmy understands you got to play the 82.
He does not understand.
I think Jimmy loves to be provocative and say whatever he's saying. He is a student of the game.
He's only played 82 games once in his career.
Yeah, he's a student. I think he understands. So
and in that season, 62 games were off the bench. This season, He played 60. Last season, 64, 57, 52, 58, 65, 59. And then back in 2017, he played 76 games. And that was the highest where he's had as a starter when he was on his final season with the Chicago Bulls. So I don't think he plays 82 games. No, he doesn't.
Yeah, it could be, but you know.
But it's nice to think that he does. It's nice to think everyone cares about the regular season. It's a nice.
Well, he. Well, I just don't want to. I don't. I. The fact that he is such a good player, it's hard to think that you would rather creep into the playoffs as an 8 seed and then think you're going to win. Like, that's just
that's,
not how
that's what he was saying all year long that he's going to do. You know what I mean? Like, okay, like if you're the best conditioned, most hardworking.
Well, we need to get him to the Boston Celtics, because that's how the Celtics do. They make everything extremely hard.
Yeah, they do. They do. But what I'm saying is, if you're the most conditioned, hardest working team in the NBA, maybe try getting into the playoffs as a top 6 seed instead of now relying on a playing game against the Chicago Bulls, which could send you home. That's just me, maybe. I mean, I'm not the one who wrote it on the court. They are, not me.
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
And that whole thing, that whole quote that they have on their court is not even a Miami Heat quote. That's what Pat Riley said when he was interviewing for a job with the New York Knicks in the 1990s. That was his sales pitch to the New York Knicks. So is that Heat culture? No, it's Pat Riley.
Pat Riley has been saying that since the since the LA days.
Yeah, well, there we go. Well, so it's not a Miami thing, is it? It's a Pat Riley thing. And Pat Riley's not out there on the court, and he's not on the sidelines. So, so that's that. But it sounds good. I get it. In other news in the NBA, Jonte Porter, brother of Michael Porter Jr., is banned from the NBA for life after gambling on NBA games. And the news was broken by Shams Charania of The Athletic, who's sponsored by FanDuel Betting. And this is just a house of cards waiting to fall now. They're going to discuss it on their ESPN show sponsored by another betting company, or on their TNT show sponsored by another betting company. So I'm not even going to get into that whole discussion. But yeah, glad he's banned for life, because you cannot damage the integrity of the NBA game by gambling on the NBA if you're playing in those games. But that's another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast. BJ, you ready for these final playing games?
Yeah, I just want to get to the playoffs. You know, you know what reminded me of today was, you know, I don't know if you watched this game over there, is the NCAA.
Like, the tournaments, you know, before March Madness happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it just reminded me of, you know, like, you know, this is the NBA. Like, I want to sit back and enjoy the game. I'm looking at, like, you know, like, I'm kind of stuck in my ways this way. Like, this one game tournament stuff, it doesn't sit well with me.
It was fun yesterday, though, with the Warriors losing and the Heat. That was not fun. The Lakers winning. That was fun. It was good basketball.
Yeah.
It's just the Eastern Conference letting us down again.
But I mean, you know what I like? You know what I love about the NBA is that the teams make adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
The players make adjustments, and you get a chance to, like, see this team, like, oh, wow. Okay. You know, the Lakers won game one. They stole game one in New Orleans. Okay. This is a must win game. Mo, what do you think is going to happen? And then you and I will look at it.
Yeah. But we still have that to look forward to, though. This is additional games. It would be different if they replaced the playoffs. This is just additional basketball, which I'm not mad about.
Yeah. This one game stuff, like, I'm just like, I've watched enough regular season games, and then they market to me a little bit. You know, they are market to me, this is a must win. This is a message game in the regular season. You know, all the stuff that you do. So, you know, I like, okay, let's get to it. Like, I played along for 82. I want to get to the playoffs now. Like, I played along for 82 games, and then you're still like, hey, here's one more. But this one has a little bit more than the first 82. Well, I played along with that.
You say that as if all these guys played 82 games, though. And it's only like 10 players in the league.
Hey, you and I watched 82. I'm just saying it from my perspective.
We've watched way more than 82, because we watched every damn team. So we've watched hundreds of games. And here I am, 6 a.m. after watching the Hawks. By the way, shout out to the Hawks fans who 2 weeks ago were chanting "We Want Boston" in their arena, thinking they were going to get the 8 seed. And now sitting at home watching the playoffs and the team's not in it. So shout out to you guys, the Atlanta Hawk fans. We'll be back tomorrow with more from the Hoop Genius Podcast. And make sure you subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple. I don't think any Jimmy Butler fans will be subscribing, but shout out to you guys anyway. I hope he recovers from his I don't know what the injury is. It's just suspected what it is right now. Maybe we'll have more information by the time this episode comes out. So fingers crossed he could return and we have a fully healthy matchup. And yes. The NBA playoffs are almost here, BJ. Just a couple of days away. And we'll be with you guys every step of the way, breaking down all of the action that happens. So until next time, get buckets.